Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Well, hello out there, my friends. We are down to the final four of March Madness. Just four squads left to take it down. A couple of them look pretty dominant. Let's talk to our professional handicapper, see what he thinks.
How's your bracket doing?
It got destroyed. Man, I was in like first, you know, going into what, Saturday? I was cautiously optimistic. I knew. Didn't even really want to say anything about where I stood because long way to go. And then a couple squads came out like Marquette and just looked like they'd super nervous.
Dude, how about Marquette? All right. Way to sack up. 4 for 31 from three ball land. And then the free throws, 14 for 23.
Yeah. I mean, except for Kolick, you know, he was ready to rock. The other guys looked like they were just learning to dribble with, like, their offhand and stuff. Like,
oh.
I was just simple turnovers. It was so frustrating to watch.
Tyler had the 17 points, 10 rebounds, and he's only 6'3". And when you're grabbing 10 rebounds, that means that's showing your effort right there. And then he goes, guys, that's why I should have played golf in the spring, because I could have the individual sport and the team sport because you guys let me down.
Yeah.
Only so much one guy can do on the basketball court. Wow, Tyler. Sorry, buddy.
So, well, you know, then is it NC State's moment here, because they kind of just kept it going through the weekend. It's fun to watch them because they, you know, we're kind of saying the teams that are together longer seem to gel, but when they show their starting lineup, it's four of them are graduate students, so they're not all like, you know, they haven't been all together for all that time, but they super get along. They're having fun. It's a lot of smiles and laughs. It's fun to watch those guys.
Well, because of big DJ Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was funny. I was listening to another podcast, and they reiterated what I said, and the guy's like, wait a minute, and he's like, this guy's, is he really 6'9", and they're trying to say he only weighs the 275er? And I'm thinking, yep, that's what I was saying. But DJ goes, worry about it. I mean, I was, every time I look at him, it's great because it looks like he's having a great time. But I look at him, I'm like, dude, that guy looks nothing like a basketball player.
No. He gets little four-minute spurts, you know, and then he kind of, he's always kind of dragging ass there a little bit. He barely gets to half court on some of those where they're pushing it. But then they wait for him. They kind of go through him at the free throw line there. And he's got that little quick kind of spin. It's almost like the left hand fools the guys. And he gets his little floater up.
Right.
And then I think they bank on the TV timeouts coming up. Or the coach can burn a couple. And
burn a couple timeouts so he gets some rest.
So with all that together, you know, it seems to work for him.
Right. So they take down Marquette. Okay, 67-58er. Then the other game that was going on that same day was Big Gonzaga and Purdue. And how about Zach Edey? I'm watching that guy. So first of all, Zach, good try. Okay, so in this tournament, Zach has just been balling. And I'm like, he's kind of like an alien almost. Like, you look at him on the court, and you're like, that guy just doesn't belong. He looks way different than everyone because he's so much bigger than them.
Yeah.
And it's just pure domination by Zach. Like, they don't know what to do with him. They keep fouling him. I'm like, oh, this game's over with, because they're in the bonus with like 12 minutes left in the half. Like, that's the tough part. I do think he gets quite a bit of calls. You know, it's almost kind of opposite from Shaq Daddy. Remember, like, Shaq never got any calls. They were kind of like, dude, you're this big, you can take that.
Yeah, this game will take forever if we call all those ticky-tack ones.
Right, but with this big Zach, they call him. And so I think that's something that people might want to factor into their handicapping, the over-unders and also the line, where you're like, dude, Purdue could possibly get into the bonus with, like, 12 minutes in the half again. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah, he does look like a monster out there. And it's like Purdue's or some of these teams have gone to kind of, they almost look like older uniform, like throwback the style. It's like white, shorter shorts. The jersey numbers are like smaller and higher on the back.
Yeah.
So it looks like he borrowed someone's like high school uni, but it looks long enough.
And I was saying how Zach is zoned in, and then I saw an interview, and he dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah, he was fired up there on the court afterwards. I saw that.
That was pretty legit. You know, that all just comes from people talking shit, saying they're not going to be very good. And then, obviously, last year, they were the number one seed, and they lost to the 16 seed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, they have a lot to prove, and you could tell it kind of all came out. But I was, like, taken back by that. I was like, whoa. Zach, you barely say anything, and then now you're dropping the F-bomb on national television.
Yeah, a lot of weight off the shoulders, you know, just that's a full year. And for them to get to the Final Four, at least like, all right, at least we're in the mix here.
Right. And so, you know, you take both those squads. So NC State goes on to play their in-state rival, Duke, who Duke beat Houston 54-51, and it's all because Houston's best player played a whopping 13 minutes before he hurt his ankle.
Yeah, see, that flipped that whole thing too real quick. I was like, I didn't know if that guy was just gonna kind of fake it for a while and stay down, but then he didn't even ever give it a go.
No. And dude, not only was he an All-American, he was like the Big 12 defensive player of the year, and he was their point guard.
Yeah, that the defense would have changed just locking down Roach and some of those guys, even just that alone.
So Duke barely gets by that game, and then they play big DJ Burns, and he goes, guys, it's not happening here. And DJ takes him down 76-54. And how about this, Duke? Duke gave up 55 points to them, to NC State in the second half. Come on.
Really?
55 points. DJ, 29 points, 13 for 19 from the field. They go, guys, we're going to send you packing again.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Embarrassing for Duke. But like you said, Big Duke, we'll see you next year when you get, what's his name, Big Cooper?
Cooper Flag, and that 7'2" dude's coming from like this African NBA program.
Yeah, so Duke will be super fun to watch. And then on the other side, Big Purdue, they took down Gonzaga, and then they took on our boy Big Kinnett from Tennessee, and he tried everything he could. Kinnett had 37 points, but his partner Ziegler, the guard,
Ziggy,
wow. That guy left the tea bags at home. 3-for-12 from the field, 1-for-7 from three ball, a whopping 9 points. No one else had double digit with Kinnett. He's the only one.
Yeah.
So he goes, hey, Zach, I tried, buddy. But Zach goes, I have 40 points and 16 rebounds. Domination.
Yeah, those were a couple of those games. They were Easter games, so I had like the 45-minute drive and found the ESPN or whatever station there. So I was listening to that the Tennessee Purdue one, and I'm like, man, these two are just going back and forth, which was sweet, you know, because we've talked about Kinnett being overlooked, and like he just was not scared of the spotlight there one bit.
No, he wasn't. Was the rest of the family listening to the car?
Well, my 11-year-old son actually asked if we could find it. I'm like, sure.
Right.
Let's do it. So, I mean, a couple other people looked at the phones, and we just checked. We listened to the hoop game.
Dude, when you're driving and you have a game to listen to, it's awesome.
Yeah, you do just kind of zone her out. I mean, like, all right, we can hit Highway 5 here and go wherever.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, you can go for a long way. I remember one time we were driving down to San Diego on the Sunday, and I'm like, dude, sun up to sun down. I'll just listen to the NFL around the radio here.
Yep.
It makes it go by a lot faster.
Yeah, you kind of just, it feels like old school, you know, like a throwback thing, but it's still cool. I mean, what else can you do? You can't stare at the TV screen if you're the driver.
Right. And so then we have Big Bama. Wow, Bama moves on. That, all I've got to say about them is they played North Carolina. The score was 89-87, and dude, I don't want to sound like some old fart here, but when there's no defense, it's just garbage. They scored 100 points combined in the first half. And it's just, I just don't like it. Like when there's no defense. So I mean, like 100 points to put that in perspective. Okay, so a high over-under in college basketball game is 160, okay? 160 points. And so combined, so that comes out to be 80 a half. They scored 100. You know, they're on pace to score 200 points. It's just like, dude, someone played defense here. And so that's just Bama doesn't do it. And they don't try to act like they do it. They're like, we're just going to outscore you here. And UNC fell for it. That's who I had for my champ.
Right. I was going to say, you know, if you're on the other side of this, you might be juiced. But it's probably a little more personal since it's your champion and you probably had coin on them.
Yeah. And it's so, it, you know, once your champion goes down, you're like, rotten. That's it. I mean, UNC shot 38% from three ball, which is pretty good. 38% from two ball also. Not cutting it. And so they're peace out.
Yeah. Yep, that would have done it for you because not many people picked Carolina in the thing that we were in.
Dude, come on. I mean, you can't get past Bama. Like, this is incredible. All they do is get up and down the court and chuck up threes. And so there's a huge variance there, and they know that. They're like, okay, if we hit them, we're going to win. If we don't, we're going to lose. And then you have the squad. We might as well just call Pierre. Peer domination. UConn. They had the rematch against San Diego State. Now, I wasn't touching that game. I'm just not touching any. And not that, you know, people that pick San Diego State, anything's wrong with that. But how about when you pick San Diego State because you're thinking, hey, they've got revenge on the mind from last year. And UConn goes, guys, whatever you want to say about revenge, we're going to beat you by 30. 82-52. I mean, are we even playing the same game here, guys? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they are definitely in a little different stratosphere with some of these teams that they're going up against. They seem way better than last year. I don't know who's really going to give them a challenge to keep it under 10.
Well, how about this? This is a joker. Average margin of victory for UConn, 28 points. Closest anyone's come to them in this tournament, 17. Wow. And they are still undefeated against the spread since last year. They've beat everyone since last year by double digits.
Yeah.
Dude, is that the biggest joke of all time? I mean, this is like Tiger Woods domination.
Yeah, he's got a good thing going. I mean, he's going to even get these kids are all going to want to go there, and the transfer kids all want to go there. So he's got his pick. You know, I think I was telling you. He's like, it started last April. We kind of start looking at the portal, and Cam Spencer was available, which it's not like many of us would know who he was, but went to LaSalle, and then he went to Rutgers for a year, and now he just looks like he's amazing for UConn.
That's right. You kept texting me over the weekend. You were having a good time checking out all the transfers.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite thing to do during the games. I'm like, who is this guy? And like, I pull up the box score, and then I click on their picture. And I look at their career stats, and it shows like three different schools. I'm like, well, dude, no kidding. I don't know where this guy's been. It's his third school.
Right. It is amazing how many guys where it's just not like they've played at two schools. This is their third school.
Or the they were talking about this guy McNamara from Syracuse just took a job at like Siena College. He'd played with Melo and won the championship, and he'd been on Boeheim's staff since he was a grad assistant after he played. So now he just took a job, and they're like, McNamara's still like third in the university, you know, three-pointers made, you know, and then Joe Girard, the third, is on the list, you know, right behind him. I'm like, oh, that's the guy that's playing for Illinois right now. So I looked up him. I'm like, dude, that guy came from Syracuse.
Right.
And, you know, some of these people listening, probably they follow some of these schools. They might recognize him, but for some of us Joes here who just tune in casually, I'm like, I don't know these dudes.
Right. No, I mean, I don't either. A lot of them. It's hard to keep up with them all. They've got to change the rules here pretty soon, I imagine. I mean, it's a little out of control. The thing that I don't care, like, you know, but like I said, the thing that I think that just sucks a little bit is there's just no loyalty to the schools, you know?
No.
You know, that's what's cool about you go through a program with someone and, you know, you guys grow together and the team gets better together. And then that just means a lot like playing next to them. And now these guys are all just coming in. But, you know, a lot of the guys like connect and stuff, it obviously helps their careers. So,
Yeah, and those guys are mature, so they kind of fit in a little quicker, and like they're just so excited to be there, like a cool program. So you kind of see those guys that are mature fit in quicker.
Yeah.
I saw the NC State team, you know, getting along so well. They said that the past championship squads have been around a lot this season, like the 83, and was there a 78 team too before the 83 one?
The NC State?
Yeah. So they said all those alumni, they've been popping in and giving them little tidbits, and they talk to them every week about tournament stuff. And it's like, it's been like a big community thing there with those guys and those past teams that played at NC State.
Oh, I bet. So, I mean, they've won the 9 games in a row now. And so before the tournament started, they were 201 to win the tournament. No, I guess that was before the season started. But someone was also pointing out, like, you know, and we've talked about this before, but when you do the futures, like, let's say before March Madness starts, it's like, who's going to win this? You know, 10-1 odds, UConn, 7-1 odds. You get better odds if you just, like, let's just say you take $100 on NC State and you play them $100. And then you just keep rolling over what you win each game. It pays out way more than if you just took the future bet. So.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you just FYI, that applies, you know, anytime for any sport. It's that you're going to get better odds if you just keep rolling it over your winnings.
Was Clemson your best bet before we finished the last one against U of A?
It was. Yep. Clemson got everyone on all the listeners to the house with some chips in the pocket.
Yeah, you gave that one, and then Clemson had a take on Bama. I was just going over some of these past ones.
Yeah, Clemson against Arizona was the best bet, and Arizona. Wow, thanks for playing. I mean, does that ever happen? See, the most overrated squad pretty much every year.
Yeah, see, that would have been my difference maker if they'd held on and got to the Final Four too. But
well, big Caleb Love let you down. He was just chucking it up, nothing going in.
I mean, when is someone from the West Coast going to get back to like the Final Four and do something?
I know, but you know, we've seen that map before. That's really cool. Like, they talk about the West, you know, not winning since 98, but way more colleges are towards the East. You know, remember, have you seen that map?
Uh-huh. Yep.
It looks like what? Like 75%? Or let's just be conservative. 70% of the schools are more to the east. I don't know where that cutoff line was, the Mississippi or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's way more schools out there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, dude, I don't know. What are they lacking? Do you think it's anything in their game, like, you know, let's say, quote unquote, the toughness? Or
I don't know if you're just losing the recruits, you know, just because they only have the good ones only want the 1 year. So they pick like those real big name ones and do Duke for a year and then they're gone.
I mean, there's only so many schools that the guys go to on the West Coast, right? I mean, you've got like Gonzaga and San Diego State,
which made the championship last year.
Right. You know, UCLA, I guess, kind of, you know.
USC was supposed to be kind of highly touted this year, and they just blew.
Yeah.
That coach got let go already, Einfeld. I think he took the SMU job last night.
And, dude, listen, whoever's doing, like, the recruiting and stuff is not doing a very good job. I mean, because if you can't get guys to come to, like, San Diego State and, like, UCLA, there's a lot harder schools to try to get kids to come to than those two. I mean, you're going to have a decent time if you're at San Diego State.
Well, and let's not go off their Instagram profile like a Bronny James here. Like, let's make sure they're good. I mean, Bronny should not have been a McDonald's All-American.
No, and they were. I saw some article like trying to think if Bronny's like heading to the pros this year or whatever, next year. I go, yeah, right. I mean, get serious. I hope people can see past the name here. But then, you know what? People might be like, dude, we get it. He's not very good, but his pops is going to want to play with him. So we'll take the 2-for-1 package there, even though his son's garb.
He didn't even start and put up like the 4 points a game.
Right. And his little brother, I think, is probably better than him.
Yeah, we'll see.
His brother's 6'9".
Yeah, he transferred like 2 or 3 times before the high school season started, so something's weird there.
Why would someone like that need to even transfer? Like, dude, you're going to score a bazillion wherever you're at, and you're going to be able to hand pick whatever school you're at. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's not like the difference between those teams are that much. Like, he's obviously going to go to a pretty good school.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of those Southern California schools, you know, they're good teams. And so, like, if he's, like, the third dude in the rotation getting the ball, like, he's like, this isn't cutting it. I want more shots.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. Then I would just think that he would get the most shots. But
did you see, you know, Matt Barnes, the former pro?
Yeah.
His kids are down there playing. Did you see how he kind of got in trouble watching his sons play?
No. So you should probably explain who Matt Barnes is first. Not everyone's going
to
know.
Matt Barnes went to UCLA and then was kind of a journeyman in the NBA. I'm sure a lot of you guys know.
The most of his career was at the Kings, Sacramento Kings.
Kings, Warriors, Clippers. Just kind of like a sub dude. Just hit some threes and play some D. But he has some kids, maybe some twins down in Southern California, playing somewhere. And the, you know, the telecast, like the students put on, like the high school one was on, and he heard the guy kind of bad mouthing his son. So he decides to cruise on down and's like, knock it off.
Yeah.
And kind of touch the kid's shoulder, and he's like, dude, I'll slap the bee out of you if you don't knock it off or something. And people are like, don't touch the high schooler, Matt.
Oh, so the high schooler was doing the commentating.
He was commentating because, you know, some of the stuff's on YouTube now. You can watch like the high school game if you're a grandparent or parent.
Interesting.
So he was the color, not the color guy, but he was the guy when they cut to like the booth for the Kings games.
Right.
So that job has been terminated.
Because of that?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Kings said, we'll see you later.
Wow. Was he the one that had the wife that was super involved?
With Derek Fisher. No, you're thinking of Doug Christie.
Oh, Doug Christie.
Doug Christie's wife, she wouldn't let him go on the road without him.
Without her?
No, so she'd go to like team meals and stuff. And I'm sure the Chris Webber and these guys are like, dude, get your lady out of here.
What? She would go to team meals with them?
She just went everywhere on the road. She didn't trust him on the road.
Wow. That, I mean, come on. That's amazing. You're sitting there with all the boys, and then this guy's wife's right there kicking it with you guys. So yeah, well, you know, parents can get every parent, like, you don't want to see someone touch your kid or talk shit about your kid. I'm trying to think if I overheard someone talking about my kid like that, what I would do. Man, that's a good question. Would I go say something to the
guy? Well, we see some of these like AAU footages too of these parents where like someone's chitting and then someone touches like a kid and you see the other dad come down and just chest bump the guy into the wall or something.
Right.
Like, they're getting a little out of hand.
No, I know, but you know, you and I mean, if someone touched your kid like that, like someone smacked him in the face.
Well, sure, yeah, that's gonna be a problem.
I mean, you jumping out of the crowd and you might go like push the kid off him. And then here comes that kid's pops for you. And that's when you just have to go elbow to the nose. Thanks for coming, big guy.
And then they go bolt a YouTube sensation for an AAU basketball fight.
Okay, we ventured off the path there a little bit. Yeah. Let's swing a rack in here to March Mad.
Yep. So we're down to four. I was just looking at the lines, and they're both pretty hefty.
Yes, they are.
I mean,
yes.
Let's start with NC State here.
NC State +9.5, over under 146. So DJ Barnes, he won't be covering Zach, you know.
They play a zone, like a lot of times.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think you're stopping the alien. It's just not happening. I mean, it's just watching him play. They like kick it down to him in the post. And if they don't double team and he's got some room, he just does like the little hook. And then if they do double or triple team, like, he's good enough to pass out of it. And now he's got good enough shooters around him. And then they just foul the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, so I really do think you have to factor in there that the bonus, like, let's watch. I'll keep track of when they hit the bonus, but it's like, that's huge. And just so people know how the bonus works, it's like, so when there's seven team fouls in a half, right? So let's say player A gets a foul, player B gets a foul. Okay. There's two team fouls there. And when you hit seven, the team gets to go and have a one-on-one. So if they make the first free throw, they get a second. And then once you get to the eighth foul, right? Is it the eighth or the tenth? I think it's the eighth.
Eighth and then 10's double bonus.
Yeah. And then you get then you get to the double bonus. So you automatically get two free throws. So that's why, like, when I was watching the last game and I'm like, oh my God, they're hacking these guys so bad. Big Zach, I'm like, they're going to get in the bonus. And sure enough, and the team didn't even shoot that great from the free throw line, and they still, you know, took care of business, no problem.
So,
no. You know, and beat them by six.
But some of them, they do get into, like, the bonus pretty quick. Used to be seven. Is it seven where the first one starts and ten's the double?
Well, yeah. Seven's definitely the first one.
Yeah, and then ten's double. But I'm like, man, they got seven real quick there.
That's what I mean. So anyway, what's your take here? Do you think big DJ Burns and the crew?
I mean, I just kind of like riding when these teams get this little magical wave going of confidence. I would definitely take them with the points. I don't think it'd be an easy win, but I'm going to take them for the upset.
I mean, I have been like when they played Duke, right? And when they played Duke, they were getting 7.5. And I was like, how are you not taking NC State here? Like, what's going on? I thought that was kind of like a bad line. Like, mm-hmm. like they hung a bad line there. And then I'm like, here again, I'm like, what makes you think that you can give NC State 9.5? These guys are on fire.
Yeah.
You know, so
the belief is there.
I agree with you there. I don't think they win the ball game, though. I think Big Zach goes, I'll see you in the championship. And, of course, it's real obvious who they're going to meet in the championship. and it's not Big Nick Saban sitting in the crowd cheering on his squad.
No, but... This one's at -12, UConn over Bama.
Is it at 12 now?
That's what I saw this
morning. And the over-under's 160. So, again, that shows you how ridiculous that Bama-North Carolina game is when they scored the 100 points in the first half. Because Bama is the highest-scoring team in college basketball. They average, I think I've said this before, like 90 points a ball game. And they're like the eighth fastest pace in college basketball. So they just get up and down. And this is 160. Over under, huge, tons of points. And what's funny is UConn doesn't push the pace very much. They're just super effective at scoring.
Mm-hmm.
12 points, though. I mean, dude, they've run UConn has blasted every other team out of the gym. I mean, why aren't they going to blast Bama?
Yeah, I mean, they blasted the national championship last year, so it'd be hard to not go with them. That's just almost worth the roll of the dice on that one. Yeah, I'd probably take UConn, and then I would take NC State, the +9.5.
Yeah, I mean, like, UConn, I was reading, like, UConn's three balls, like, haven't even been dropping yet. They're, like, shooting below their season average. I think their season average was, like, 38%, right? And, like, in this tournament, they're shooting, like, 32%. I mean, put it this way. When they played Illinois, okay, close ball game. They beat Illinois 77-52. Okay. 25 points. And they were only 3-for-17 from three ball, UConn.
Wow.
So that's a whopping 18%, and they still win by 25.
Right.
I mean, these guys are playing a different game right now. Like, this is just a close ball game. And they are down everyone's leg.
They have some good seniority, and they have some good age to the roster too. They're not like they have the one freshman, you know, that gets the big contributions, but they've got some age that just shows their maturity too.
Now the big question is UConn versus the alien
from X-Files.
What happens then?
UConn.
So that will be legit. Because it's basically like the best team in the nation versus the best player in the nation. And, you know, typically the team wins those ball games. But when you have someone that's 7-4 and he's averaging 30-15 in this tournament, I mean, what a joke.
I mean, UConn has some size, though, too.
No, they do. No, I know they do.
Kligen or whatever. He's 7 foot.
No, I know. But Zach's way better than he is.
Yeah.
I think that kid's only a sophomore, too. But, yeah, so they've got some size, definitely. But we'll see. I mean, that'll be the best team versus the best player. And then Zach sits down with his squad before and goes, guys, you know I'm going to bring my teabags. I really need you to help out this ball game.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Hurley's a good coach. I mean, he can come up with some schemes and work around that, you know, maybe push the ball a little more. It'll be interesting. If that is the matchup, you know, that line will not be a double-digit line at that point.
Oh, okay. So let's guess what that line will be.
5?
That's a pretty good call. Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say, like the 5.5.
I mean, if NC's... Yeah. 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 Yeah, 5 to 6. I'd be with you there.
Yeah. Wow. They might, you know, who knows? If they blast them, that might even be more than that.
Yeah. If they just thump Bama, maybe they go with like an 8.
Wow. And Zach goes, okay, here we go.
I would take UConn there, though.
Well, I don't know. I might take the alien.
Yeah. How do you feel about the back-to-back thing now?
The back-to-back. Oh, them going back-to-back?
Yeah, just saying, you know, it's hard to do. You haven't been done since Florida.
Oh, this domination has just been a joke. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this in college basketball. This is just ridiculous. Like, when the closest a team has come to them is 17. I mean, people thought that Illinois was going to give them a run because Illinois actually, at that point, had the number one rated offense in college basketball. And they go, guys, we're going to beat you by 25.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even close. And we know you have some future NBAers. We don't care. I mean, and then Hurley's brother, Bobby, goes, hey, bro, can you kick me down some recruits over here at Arizona State?
Or can I come to your summer camp and see how you do it?
Because I'm struggling over here.
It's not cutting it at ASU.
And remember, Bobby was like, I mean, he's obviously way more popular. And his brother... who's at UConn now, you know, you kind of knew him like he was, gosh, where was he before this?
Buffalo was like where he was doing really well.
Oh, is that where he was? Uh-huh. Buffalo? Oh, are you talking about Bobby or his brother? Because I think Bobby was at Buffalo too, wasn't he? Maybe Bobby came in after his brother.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, one of them was at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Or was one of them at Rhode Island?
Okay, that was the current Hurley that's at UConn. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, maybe Bobby was Buffalo.
Yeah. He was, and then he went to Arizona State over. But yeah, he's struggling down there. Mm-hmm. That's another school that you shouldn't be struggling with the recruiting at all, at all. I mean, if you give me some recruits coming through there, and I say, guys, here, let's pop into this party real quick, say hello to the lady friends, it's ball game. They're like, where do we sign the dotted line?
But don't do it before games.
No, of course not.
Don't take her out the night before.
Nope, 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 of course not.
Okay. So what's your...
So I would take NC State to cover. I guess that'll be my best bet for this episode, the NC State to cover. But I do think that Purdue moves on. And then the Bama, wow. I mean, they're going to have to light it up from three ball land. Like, they're going to have to be 15 for 30. And I don't think it happens. They could possibly get run out of the gym. And then everyone's like, wow, this UConn team's unreal. And then they go up against Zach, and Zach gives them a ball game.
Mm. So you would take Zach with the points in the championship
game? If it was like, okay, so let me put this out. I would take Zach. If Zach is getting 7 or more, I would take him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think NC State pulls off the upsetter, and then but UConn handles them. I think,
really?
I think
gosh.
Carpet ride comes to an end.
Just think, if NC State got by Purdue, how many people would be pulling for that Cinderella story?
That'd be fun to watch on Monday.
That would be cool. So, just so the listeners know, so we won't be back in time for the championship game, but because the championship game's that Monday. But Tuesday, we'll be back to talk the Masters.
Yep, sure will. We'll sit down and chat some golf. That's my favorite tournament of the year, so can't wait for that one either.
Mm-hmm. That is a legit one.
And Jim Nantz comes back from his little break. He didn't do March Madness anymore.
Oh, he does it?
Nope. Did you see him? He was at the Houston game.
I did see that.
Yeah, yeah. No, last year he stopped doing it. Get a little more time with the family.
Nice.
Yeah. So, should be a fun Final Four. Looking forward to watching these. We'll see if UConn just cruises on through, but hope you all enjoyed. We love our March Madness ones, and we will see you guys Tuesday, and we'll chat some golf. Enjoy, everybody.
See ya.